'cause I don't know what.
This is the second session, it's over here in the kitchen, and talk about the, those final Thanksgiving, dinners that, the community's had here in Evanston since way back. This is, Tuesday morning, right in the middle of this May rainy season, the 20th of May, 1969. This is Channel One Over. This is Channel One Over, the 20th of May, 1969. Over in the kitchen, this rainy May day, with the watermelons, almost, some of them almost big enough to eat. And Floyd's gonna talk about the fine Thanksgiving dinners that the community at Evanston had since way back.
Ms. Hayden, and Ms. Bateman, and, Ms. McFadden lives in the home that her father lived in. And, they are the people that know the section, better than I, because I've just been here, what, about 36 years? That's a good long time. I began to feel it.
Lois has a fine picture of you and this two girls.
Oh, yeah. She brought it up the other day to tell me she thought young Mark looked like Alice. She wanted to print it more, so I had to come and see him.
Well, he's got the equipment.
I don't get anywhere much, so I get out of school, okay.
Down there. Well, long years ago, as I recall, we've had so many children. I kinda forget them now, but. But he's the one that was dead for several days.
I'll go ahead, son. Go ahead. I just wanna see if it's working.
This man that was found here, I was telling about one of the old niggers, I saw him one morning, and he was showing me a cooter.
It's working.
And he reached down to put his cooter back in that sack, and I took a picture.
Oh, that's right.
I have that.
Oh, yeah.
But back in, the early years, we didn't have too many people in our community, and if we decided we wanted to get together, we'd just get the word around on Sunday, and we'd get the park, and we didn't have to come in as early as we could. Perhaps we'd have it on Saturday afternoon on account of mosquitoes. Now, back in '33, when we first married, we had malaria mosquitoes.
Oh.
Ruth Richardson had a real bad attack.
Oh, really?
And it didn't come out until she went to the World's Fair, and she was sick practically the entire butt time she was there. But you know, they've made great strides in that, in, doing away with malaria mosquitoes.
Drained everything, too.
Well, did they have a park, even then?
Yes, we've had a park all those years.
Are you leaving too much, Faith?
I don't know, just, it was given to the town and deeded, now I don't know in whose survey that was. We'll have to find that out later, I should've asked Mark. But, we would just get together on Saturday afternoon, and everybody bring a basket and get to see the neighbors. And perhaps we had it a few times at the church, someone remembered it, but we always tried to keep it away from Sunday morning due to the fact that we didn't want anything to have to prepare dinner and take it to the church, because that always keeps some of the ladies at home preparing the food. So we always tried to have it on Saturday afternoon, and, but as the community grew, we had to change our procedure, because it wasn't always easy to get together. But I do wanna tell you about one outstanding supper we had. We decided to have a chicken fry, and that was after the Pattersons came. And I can.
That'd be in the '40s.
I don't know what, I imagine so, maybe the latter part of the '40s or something. But, I remember, Mr. Cook was here, and he was a former pastor, he and his wife came, and he really liked to eat. And, he was, quite a visiting preacher, which we don't have too much anymore. But, he and Ms. Cook came over for our supper that night, and everybody brought as much chicken prepared for frying as they thought their families and some extra too could eat. And several of us brought, charcoal burners and our frying pans. And we set them up there at the park, and we brought other dishes. But the main dish was fried chicken. And I tell you, we never had a more outstanding meal than that night. And all the hot fried chicken anyone wanted to eat. Some of us tried to keep up with Mr. Cook, but we had. He was a dear old soul, and I don't think he would mind me saying that, but he really did enjoy that chicken supper. And then I guess we had other meals and suppers from time to time, but they kind of seem a little dense to me. But in 57, we decided, I wondered if it would be a good idea, and I talked it over with Jane, and we got some of the other ladies together. And we decided to have a Thanksgiving dinner and invite all the people that had ever been here or had any connections here and any friends who wanted to come to bring their baskets and have dinner. And we started out in 57, and why I remember that was the first year that Joe went to Alaska, and he had gone in September, but Judy left the night before Thanksgiving, and her folks came up as our guests, and they were rather sad and dejected because she had gone and to be gone for 2.5 years. And that's why it stands out in my memory that that was the year we started. And we also started that year, the ones who would take turkeys would just cut up or take a whole turkey. And then perhaps when one would get home, it wouldn't have any turkey, and the other would have a whole turkey. So then we started just halving our turkeys. We have had a large group, I guess never under 100 and upward of 200 at times. It's just according to the plans other people have. And it's such a joyful time for the children and the friends to come home. A most happy occasion in 1960 when Kay was at Quantico. The other children were coming home. Charlotte was coming from Georgia for Thanksgiving. And we were wishing Kay could be with us. And during the dinner hour, they were motioning to me to come near the front there. And I said, well, I've already spoken to some of the ones that had come in. They said, no, come here. And when I got there, it was Kay. And he had let Charlotte know that he was on his way in case something happened that he didn't arrive. But he arrived in time for dinner. So that was one of the happy occasions. And I wish you might have been here when we first started and gotten to know some of the people that were still living in our community. And we cherish many pictures. We would take pictures, and I'm sorry to say we didn't always date them. You know, up some of our settlers, I remember Iris' father, Mr. Jay, and Mr. Lon Smith, and Cousin Charlie, and many of the older settlers. As I said, when you start naming some of them, Miss Anna, and of course, Mother missed this last time. So we'll miss faces from year to year, but I think...
But back in 57, they was all here.
Yes, in 57, a good many of those were here, you see. Some had gone. The community means something to those who have been reared here that we don't never know. And I think it's wonderful to think of Freddie Wood being interested in staying in our community and building a lovely home. And two of our boys have loved it here and have built homes. And I think that has something to say to a community, and I hope we can always keep our little church here and have a Homer Miller, our county engineer from Gainesville, came for the dinner, and he was the one that saw to it that we had 2 barrels for our park. And, of course, they deteriorated in the bottom, but Marcus put heavy wooden bottoms in them, so they might be heavy to lift, but they ought to be with us for a number of years. So I hope this Thanksgiving we'll all get in the spirit, and we appreciate the fact I don't know whether any have come in the fathers in Knoxville or not. The Chopin the Hurleys have come from time to time.
Some of that cooking is sort of special now. I don't know how it used to be.
I remember the first time that we were out here, not the first time we came to the Thanksgiving dinner, because that was before we came out, but it seemed to me that every kitchen I went to And on Monday, I could smell the cooking going on, and I got so excited, I didn't know what to do. Just special dishes.
Well, I think that's true that of any occasion, but out here, I think everybody puts out their best cooking for Thanksgiving dinner, and I've always been amazed at the food that has been left, and many times we have tried to remember families
mm-hmm.
that were destitute or didn't.
How about, is that yours?
The pancake.
On Thanksgiving?
Uh-huh.
No, you don't.
Don't.
What's your favorite? What's your favorite?
Well, I've always fixed the pancake because I just cook like my mother cooked, just plain cooking. I don't go in for a lot of fancy food. I just, I don't, Nancy's a fine cook.
What does she do?
Well, she uses, they haven't been able to be here for a time too, and I don't know just what some of her dishes are, but she really uses more spices and more ingredients like that than I do. I just use plain food.
Jane, do anything special for her?
Oh, I'm sure she's a great pie maker, isn't she?
I don't remember the pies. I remember Mrs. Patterson's rice.
Oh yes, Mrs. Patterson. I'm sorry that her health is bad, and I don't believe she was. It happens to be that their families, as the family gets grown, and they have children and grandchildren, that they are called to other places at certain times of the year.
You gotta follow the children now.
Yeah, you just have to. Circumstances, but I tell you one thing, we always plan on Thanksgiving, and I'll tell you another instance that's in the family group. Joe told Judy, he said that there's, I should delete that, that's not good English. But he told Judy there were certain times of the year that he wanted to reserve certain occasion.
Uh-huh.
And one was for Thanksgiving dinner at the park. And as long as Mother was able, he wanted to be able to go to her house for Christmas night. Always had supper, because we didn't get to have that this year because she has gone to Knoxville. But we've always gone to her house, her and Dad's, as long as he lived. Before he got sick, and we were the only ones that had children, we would make it an all-day affair at Christmas time. But as he became sick, they limited it to supper.
Mm-hmm.
And the last few years, we've limited it to sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
And they would have Mother's sister Mo and her family from Palacos to come.
Yeah.
So, and now for 2 or 3 years, Leroy and Lois have had a Christmas supper.
Oh, really?
And they haven't had it on Christmas night, but on Christmas Eve, about 2 or 3 nights before Christmas. And they've invited all the family and the Palaca folks and friends to come in, and which those suppers have meant much to the family, and but they all bring their dishes, and they don't depend on Mother to take enough for all of them. They assume their responsibility and bring their dishes, and it's kind of like I told some of the children Sunday. I said, when we remodeled the back porch, added the utility room, I tried to get your Dad to build me a breezeway to the garage. I didn't know he was going to use a garage at that time for a workshop. And I said, in that way, I could have put a picnic table. Because you see, when we had nine, Sunday we joined Judy and Kay and Lynn with Joe's family. And then when Alice and her family come, there's 13. And when Charlotte and Arwen Purdy come, there's about 16, 17 of us.
You
so you see, we would enjoy having one of these breezeways to really entertain, but
well,
we didn't do that.
Well,
that good.
But who's how much help do you have in the kitchen?
Yeah,
you mean
how much help do you have with all this?
On Sunday?
Anytime.
Just one.
You can do all that.
Sunday morning?
No, anytime.
All this
When you have all the company and everything.
Well,
do you have any help?
I have help. I've had help since January this year, but for, of course, years ago I had Flora Mae Woodard. She worked for me for 25 years. But my children were small, and they used to say, well, Flora has a maid. And I said, well, let me tell you one thing. If you think a maid can do all the washing and...
This is the end of the tape for Tuesday morning, the 20th of May, 1969. This is the end of the tape for Tuesday morning, the 20th of May, 1969. This is round 170. We were going to talk about the Thanksgiving occasion in the park in Evanston. We talked about everything else. We did get a little in on that, so we'll have to hold that over. And this is round 170, Channel 1 over, Channel 1 over, Channel 1 over, Tuesday, the 20th of May, 69. This is Tuesday, the 3rd of June, 69. Tuesday, the 3rd of June, 69. This is Channel 1 over, around 175. Tuesday, the 3rd of June, 69. Channel 1 over, around 175. Now, this is the third meeting. Last week, Flora had her flower shows. And the week before, she went one day up to Keystone, I guess. And then last Tuesday, she was cooking peaches. Two of the orchards had been open. People would go in and gather all they wanted and pay just a little. She said she called over here last night and couldn't get in. How many people we have on this line?
Large ham. And we try to buy a ham that doesn't have much fat on it.
Mm-hmm.
But they always contend that a ham isn't any good unless it has the fat on it.
Yeah,
you know.
A whole lot.
But I think Ms. Garriga is one of the best cooks. Well, I don't know just what all she brings to the Thanksgiving
mm-hmm.
dinners, but I tell you, if you ever go in her house and look in her deep freezer,
yeah.
It's a revelation.
Oh, really?
Well, how would a fella do that? Just go in there and see Miss Garrigal.
See your deep freeze?
No, but we've been up there
uh-huh.
just to call in on Sunday evening,
mm-hmm.
and she would insist on I was staying for supper, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
And they would have a whole turkey cooked just for the two of them and maybe ham.
Yeah.
And I said, Joe, I'm afraid to invite you for a meal. I'm afraid you'd eat supper before you came to my house. And I've invited
him.
It is. He really eats.
He does.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he's, I don't know, just, he works hard.
Yeah.
Oh, he works hard. And I'm afraid they'll find him sometime in the field because he just gets so
uh-huh.
over. And she works. And she puts up all this, these lima beans and all this corn. And she plants them. She plants them and she works them.
Really?
She's one of them. They work harder than any two people I know in this locality.
Well, I've seen him before.
And I tell you, and he would be hungry.
Yeah.
And she would have it cooked when he got home.
Mm-hmm.
And one day I went up there and she wanted to give me something. You never go there unless they give you something. And
oh.
I'm just embarrassed to death as a rule.
Yeah.
And she gave me a large, I don't mean a quart size. And it might have been, but it was around a half a gallon bag of lima, small lima beans.
Oh my goodness.
That she had cooked. And put up in there. She delegated takes them to the church supper.
Oh.
And then one night she did the barbecue. Now they did it themselves for the Baptist church. We've been invited several times to the Baptist church supper. And they invited the Arles and us one night to go to. And she had done all of the barbecue, chicken and beef barbecue. Just delicious, you know. And I think then they had donated that. Now the church buys most of the meat. They have I'd hate to think we had to put on a supper once a month.
And they do it once a month.
Oh, and the most delicious meals. And Ruby Edwards always fits a salad bowl like this. I don't mean a little one. I mean a big one. And she has everything in it. I don't care what month of the year it is, but they say she sends that every month or brings it. So Ollie and Joe was a Catholic back in Louisiana, I think. And I was at the Baptist church the day they joined them. And
oh.
So, and I was there the day the site joined the Baptist church, and they were Catholic too. You remember the site that had the drive-in theater, and he had, I guess, a wooden leg. He walked. He lived down there. You're not taping this, are you?
Mm-hmm.
He lived down there, back of a Christian church down there. And he and Mr. Kahn, you remember Mr. Kahn that always met you at the front door in McIntosh?
Oh, yeah.
Now, he and Mr. Kahn bought the drive-in theater from the first people who started the entertainment.
Well, I didn't know that.
I didn't realize that either.
And Mr. Side was I think his first wife was a mental patient. And they had adopted this child, and then he married the secretary, Dale. And she was deaf, to almost deaf. And just before she left McIntosh, she went to this ear specialist in Ocala. And he's operated on two people in McIntosh that I know about. And Dale said she had said, I just didn't know what the world was until I had my operation, and said it just made a new, she just had a new personality.
Why, sure.
I could hear it.
And I saw I saw Lester Sipe when Mr. Kahn was there, and he said that she was working as a nurse, nursing aide, a nurse, or something, I don't know. She was a smart pup to accommodate a three-corner cupboard that she had bought in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to raise the ceiling in the dining room, you know. And I guess she was quite immaculate housekeeper and things like that. And then they were very fond of Ms. McFadden, who lived next door to them. And then Mr. Connor had one son, I don't think they know where he is. And then Billy and Joe lives in Gainesville. Then when his father sold his house down here, well, Joe would not build. Joe married a widow with two children, I think. And then they had one child of their own. And that was the only grandchild Mr. Kahn had ever had. The other boys had married ready-made families.
Oh.
And so then when they said they wouldn't build a new home unless he'd come live in it. And they built him an apartment, not to eat, but to live, have his sitting room.
Whereabouts?
Out in Iowa.
I see, yeah.
In Gainesville.
He'd drive down here every time.
And I guess he wasn't a church person, perhaps, during his early years. And Mr. Rutland, in his comment, said, I used to ask Mr. Kahn why he came every morning and opened up. And he said, well, you know, I've got a lot of catching up to do.
Yeah.
You know, that was sweet, I thought. And he said, and he's met me at that front door every morning for 11 years, unless he was sick or on vacation. And so when we went to the funeral, I had met Joe. I was there the day he joined the church. And I said, Joe, I haven't seen you many times, but I was very fond of your father. And I said, every morning when I visited the McIntosh Methodist Church, he would kiss me. And he would always say, I can make it another week. He had that cute little thing.
Now that was Joe?
No, that was his father. And I was telling his father, Joe, about it at his father's funeral.
Mr. Kahn always
kissed me. He said, well, I don't want it to stop with father. And he reached over and kissed me. And I was so shocked because Joe is such a timid acting somebody, you know. But Mr. Kahn would be so cute. He said, now I can make it another week. But he was a fine person. Yeah. And he was very fond of the children. And especially Alice. And he would just give her a handful of passes.
Yeah.
And she'd just take everybody to the drive-in. That was their pastime. You know,
now that's when he first came down here.
And one boy said, I don't mean to be inquisitive, but I just wonder where you get all these passes. One of the boys at the theater, she said Mr. Kahn gave them to me, so he never did ask her any more questions.
Now, Flora, there's got to be in the place in the world for people who, when they talk about, the Sunday school lesson, are flat-headed. You see, Mr. Kahn never talked about the Sunday school lesson.
Well, he talked about the Bible, Mr.
He didn't talk about it very well. But now you see, But look what he meant in the community down there.
Yeah. Well, I guess he was quite a Bible student. He might not have talked about it. But he studied the Bible and Mr. Rutland brought that out.
Oh.
And the day they went to Lakeland, and he said, I don't like but three or four chapters completing the Bible reading for, and he told him how many times he had gone through the Bible. But of course, we said that not long ago. That's not always the point. It's studying it, you know. Not
would Mr. Rutland talk about Mr. Kahn on tape for half an hour, and people like that he's known, lived with for so long?
He would be. It would be so rich.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, now, for instance, this just makes Mr. Kahn an entire different person.
Yeah, I never did.
You
that.
Have made Mr. Kahn live again.
Uh-huh.
You've actually resurrected him.
Well, he and Joe used to buy the meat and the food, and Ms. McFadden would fix special meals for them. And in later years, since she's come back from the hospital, she was in the hospital off and on for 2 years. And then when she came back home, she's in a wheelchair. But she would then have Myrtle Phillips and Mr. Kahn for dinner on Sunday. And she had his plate fit the Sunday he died. She didn't know he had had the heart attack the night before. So she lives right, you know, where Mr. Kahn lived there across from the church with the house with the little, we always said we couldn't live behind those bars. They have the wooden, look like wooden jousts, and Miss McFadden lives in the house facing the east.
Mm-hmm. Now she's a Methodist too.
No, she's Baptist.
She's Baptist,
but she's a very nice person,
and she always had him for dinner.
Well,
uh-huh.
Most Sundays. I mean, I hadn't had him for a good while, but one June, maybe a year or two ago, I don't know whether it was for the Turing married or not, but I've had him a few times on Sunday, but I'd always have to ask him ahead, and I'm not that type of entertainer. I can't plan too far ahead of what I'm going to do. If you would come home with me from church,
that's fine.
And I know I have enough dinner for everybody, but that's all right. But I can't always plan ahead to entertain people.
Flora, Mr. Rutland would have a following of people like Mr. Kahn, wouldn't he?
Well,
Mr.
Rutland has brought 23 people into the church this year. And he has something that some of the folks don't have. He's a pastor, and he was real cute when he brought in this group. He said, now, if there's two more here and to join the church, I'll have it 25. And it's incredible. And a good many of those people, he baptized, they call it, a man, this Bryant that built this large home down here, in front of Mary Liz Walkup's house, you know, that big brick house there. When you turn back of Ms. Brown's house there. And he's a drywall man.
Oh.
And he has three children. And his wife moved her membership not many Sundays ago from some place. And someone said to me, I don't know who it was. I thought it was Corbin, of course, that it was. He said, well, they'll never get him in the church. But I was there the Sunday, that Easter Sunday, and he and one of his boys were sprinkled.
Well, now he's way off.
He's from Georgia, but he's been here for years. But I thought it was marvelous to see that family. I told him, I said, you'll never regret it to be a family within the church. And I said, and all the boys, I said, it certainly has meant lots to us. And then his stepmother came. She runs that Mike Fish Camp to Orange Lake down here, Lake Shores, those Bryants down there.
Oh.
His father died, and she said, well, isn't it a shame that I never go to church, but I'm going to start coming. But she, I don't know.
Mr. Rutland, I know he's meant, as Guy said, he has.
He farms, and he makes his way, and he takes the produce to different members, and he has taken old Miss Huff fishing as long as she's been able to
Miss Bryant.
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Huff is quite a nice person. She used to live in this area, Buddy's mother. She and I are very good friends, and she has kept a diary, but she said she went several years ago and tore up and burned her diary.
That's too bad, because I'm sure it was written.
Well, now, I think it's well, if you keep a diary and keep things that aren't too personal.
Uh-huh, yeah.
You know, but she told me how many times she had moved. And one of the first deaths, two deaths right after we married, well, the next year after we married was Kathleen Wood, Rob Wood's first wife and mother of the four boys. And Ali's sister, she died of hemorrhagic fever. You know what that is? No, hemorrhagic. I guess it affects the kidneys. And I don't know whether it's the worst form of malaria fever. No, I guess. But anyway, whatever it was, she had it and Mr. Huff had it. But our father had it. Hemorrhagic fever. Kathleen was one of the most attractive women you've ever seen. She was. Her son, Diva, who lives in Baltimore, but that's the image of his mother.
Now that's Rob's first wife.
Mm-hmm. But you see, Billy was a baby, and so Kathleen had always said to Allie, I want you to look after Billy. And she lived with an Uncle Nance down at Boardman, going to the Orange Lake Shores on the right side of a large white house. The Freemans lived there. And, of course, she kept Billy down there, and Rob would go down and see Billy, so it wasn't there till 3 years.
What other sort of people did Mr. Rutland bring in?
Mm-hmm. She's, I wish, and that would be another interesting thing. Miss Rutland is a very a beautiful speaker.
Yeah.
Would you call it? She has that flow. And if she would talk to you sometime about the youth weeks that they have had and how many and the outstanding people. You need to give a little time, you know, and tell her that you would like to get that down on tape.
Give it to her.
Just give it to her and let her talk to you. Because that is...
I mean, I'll tape it, but I'll give her the tape.
But that would be something for the church to have. I was there one Sunday, and they had at Sunday's at church, they had in the large silver picture, the old silver picture, the arrangement of flowers. And that's what they used to take communion in.
Oh.
Everybody, I guess. Kind of like the Holy Grail. And then they had the Ms. J.H. Bateman had found them in her attic. And even this church that was moved from, it was halfway, too bad it's not still there, you know, and have church there. Mm-hmm. Halfway between McIntosh and Evanston.
Oh.
And then they moved it on logs to McIntosh, that's the Methodist church. And they had the offering plates with the long hounds, and they took up the offering that Sunday.
And it was okay.
Uh-huh.
Oh, really?
And that was rather interesting, you know. I think it was some of the centennial of the church.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of interesting things if people just knew about
yeah.
it.
Yeah,
it
is.
Uh-huh.
And this is the early church.
Uh-huh. And then the Civic League, you see, in McIntosh has been in existence around 25 years. Because Purdy was one of the first babies they sponsored.
Mm-hmm.
And even though it never has done too much, it has been one of the nicest things in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And
about Mr. Garriga and that cooking up there.
Oh,
Now you see, let me tell you, you see that, huh?
Don't put this on tape, but I tell you, they go to Publix and they buy meat for those dogs and ice cream.
Ice cream.
They feed their dogs ice cream. Now, I'm not joking.
Ice cream.
And when her puppy was in the hospital down here, the little dog she kept in the bedroom, when he was in the hospital, she gave him special money to buy that dog ice cream every week. She gave him enough money to buy that dog ice cream every day. That's true. I always tried to get him to buy from Mr. didn't, because I'll tell you, he'd have a gold mine in there. I mean, they have the largest deep freezer that Sears had, and I don't know what Sears, but anyway, she doesn't like it. And they keep saying, Chuck the Block. Oh, I've seen it. I never have seen it.
And they go down to Publix and buy the meat.
Yeah. And they buy ham, and they buy turkey. I bet you they have at least 2 turkeys in the deep freezer now, maybe 3.
And just 2 of them.
2 of them. And then they have relatives who come to see them.
Yeah.
Someone has told me that they have, one of them has relatives that have 3 retarded children.
Really?
Among them all.
Let me tell you what.
Have a little store over there, a filling station, as you go from to Citrus, and it was on the left side. Well, we never did know them because we never had any opportunity. But that's what they did, and that's how they got their first start.
Mm-hmm.
And the Arlens used to go to Lake George, and they'd go that way, and they'd stop by there. And they said one time, several years later, they went up. They were looking for oranges, and they saw these oranges. They stopped by and asked them if they had any for sale, and they recognized the Garrigas. So that's why they've been friends since then. You know, the Artons over at Warburg, friends of ours, they live on the bluff by the Fredericks. You know where the Fredericks have?
I don't know.
I want y'all to see the fence the Fredericks have put up between theirs and the Wardorf lot. Have you noticed?
No.
Well, you have to look. It's just like ours, almost, you know, but over the Arlens or so, they kind of heard about it because, you know, they just didn't feel like they needed a fence up in their subdivision. Of course, Alice and Knights have a little wire fence, like they have at their house for the children, but this is a board fence that they put up on the line. It doesn't bother Knights, in fact, he said. If they'd have put up a chain link fence, it would have might have looked nice.
Well, you know, I just didn't realize Garrigas were that, were that interesting. Now, I saw her at a tea at your house, and she's elegant looking.
She's dressed
real stunning.
Yes, they just say she goes down to Blockers, and she doesn't stand on clothes.
Uh-uh.
This is off the record, but Mr. Garrigas carries a dog in his trunk.
Uh-huh. I've seen it.
Have you ever heard him bark? And have you ever seen him whip them?
Mm-mm.
Well, if they bark, he has a leather whip, and he really whips them. Well, now that to me takes all the joy out of knowing someone like that, because dogs are dogs, you know.
Well, I've been over there at Fredwood's store when he took off.
Mm-hmm.
Over the afternoon, we went home, and it seemed like they had a little ceremony. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Whenever he take the dogs gather from everywhere, but they don't bark until he starts off.
Well, and he'll whip them, and they say she sits there just like a stone. Oh, I know that name. I don't think they've always gotten along too well, because he has such a temper. But that, to me, that takes the joy out of knowing people, you know.
Well, where did she get that flair for clothes? She brought up like that?
I don't know. But she can work like a Trojan, but she can dress up on Sunday like, you know.
Oh, she really can.
And hat and shoes and man.
Well, you know, I had seen her several times in the truck. I'd never been over to her house, but I'd seen her, and I thought I knew she was. At your party, I didn't recognize her.
Well, I tell you the truth, if you go in her home, it is one of the nicest houses in this community.
How would you go in there? I don't.
Say, Miss Gail, would you please ask me in? I'd like to see your deep freeze, too.
Well, they have 3 nice bedrooms, and they're all, she might have had Blockers to come up and do the interior decorating. She has wall-to-wall carpeting, and her bedrooms are just elegant. They really have too much house unless she has company.
Well, I thought that was an old country house, huh?
No, they really have it fixed up.
Well, they redone it.
Oh, yeah. See, Mark's uncle built that house.
Art's uncle.
Uh-huh, Uncle John.
Fred is Miss PK's brother.
Yeah. And then he lived there years ago. And then a man by name of Adams bought it. And his wife was a poet. A poet. What you call that? Wrote poetry. And I don't know. Oh, I used to see some of them. Well, anyway, the land bank had a mortgage on it. And they started a little dairy across the way. You've seen that cement block. And then the bank got it in on mortgage, and then Leroy and Mark bought it
from the bank.
And then they got that property on the south and the grove. Well, they got all of it. Well, then an old house up there without any phone or any water. Mark always says an old house is liability on a piece of property. And so they finally sold the house and the grove to this man, not to Mr. Garrett, but someone else who lived there for several years. And you just can't rent a place like that because you don't draw the desirable people.
Yeah.
And so this young man that bought it wasn't married, and he and his grandmother lived there. They weren't very desirable citizens, but anyway, they weren't a part of the community at all. So then the Garrigas bought it from him, I think. And I think she would like to build in McIntosh on their property down there because they are sociable and things. But I love both of them, but I just hate to go to their house because there are a lot of people who go to places when they know there's produce and things like that. You know, a lot of friends. Oh, I used to know this woman in Gainesville. I didn't. She wasn't a friend of mine, but she would always make it by our house for lunchtime. And she was, and I forgot what she did down here. And one day, and you won't invite her. I mean, I don't know what they'll become of her. I haven't seen her. I never did know any member of her family, and I just don't know what she did, why I knew her. And one day she was fussing because she had to pay $1 a bushel for cull potatoes over at Lake Butler. Is it Lake Butler? No. Where is that place between Lake Butler and Gainesville? Mark said, well, I tell you, I don't care how many times Lola comes by here, you can just refrain from inviting her for dinner. If she isn't willing to pay those poor farmers up there, dollar bushel for cull potatoes, where she can just. I mean, but you know, people, well, that's one of the problems Buddy Huff has. I have never been to Buddy Huff's unless I called ahead and ordered a bushel of cucumbers or something. I said, well, Flora, if you'll come down here in the morning at a certain time before we sweep out or something, said, if you have someone to bring with you. As a rule, my time, I'd rather go down there and pay $2 a bushel and get the size I want than to go down there and go through the cars. You know, and things like that. And yet I've been down there, and they insist on giving me something. And Mark said, well, I'm sure that they've given other people many times things of ours they had down there. Because, see, they used to do our squash. And, it was just amazing. And then we had a very good friend in Gainesville. Both of you would know them if I told you who they were. And they used to come down and had privilege to go down our field to fish. And then when the cabbage were in season, he would have privilege to get him ahead of two. But we had another friend who said, well, he sure didn't miss the cabbage since so-and-so didn't come down here anymore. That he always kept him and neighbor supplied. Well, you see that.
Stick it himself and take enough for all the friends.
Mm-hmm. So you see that, you know.
Well,
you can't tell. And it's just like Zeb, when his five children were small, Zeb Johnson up here, and he had a little cabbage patch up here on by Mr. Gilbertson. He's always worked hard, and of course since his wife died, they've lived a different type of life, and we haven't always approved, but he and Lloyd Johnson have always stood out as Monday, the high-type Negroes in this locality. In fact, once one of Rob Wood boys was asked his ideal type of a man, and he said Lloyd Johnson.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. That was when he was a little boy, because Lloyd has always been a nice type person. And then I saw two school teachers in Gainesville I knew when they asked me. They were just riding out in the country to see what they could find, and they were out there swiping Zeb's cabbage. They perhaps got a head of peas, but they ran, because when they saw me coming, I don't know whether they knew who I was or not, but I sure knew who they were. You know, I never did have the same respect for those teachers, because they were getting money. That was after the Depression, because I was in the Depression. I didn't get the money, but I didn't go out and steal. But they were over there getting his cabbage, and he was working hard trying to support five children.
You know, I didn't realize that about the Geigers. That makes them sort of one of the big families. Sort of, they've got that old instinct of hospitality.
They do have.
Part of the community.
Now I called them not long ago and asked them to come down for supper. We were having fish. But he had promised to do some work for this man he had sold out to, and they couldn't come. Well, you call them at different times and they refuse to come, you get kind of embarrassed to call them, you know. And he just doesn't like to go, but he likes to have company.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
He likes to come back.
Over on his side.
And they were very good friends of the McMurtries, and the McMurtries had just been to see them. And we were very fond of the McMurtries. The boys bought two of the groves down here at McIntosh from Mr. McMurtry. He was wanting to move and sell out. He was sick, so they bought the groves. But you see, we learned through the Baptists that they didn't want any company on the weekend. They wanted the McMurtrys to themselves on the weekend because they were busy during the week. And then any friends that wanted to have them out would have them out during the week. Well, now Sunday afternoon was about my and Mark's best chance to call by and see the McMurtrys, but you just don't do that. They moved to Tennessee. They lived down there by Annie Mae's apartment in that little tiny house.
Well, I'll tell you.
Tripping of that man down the front seat of the car, I think I had him.
That's what keeps that little Thanksgiving going. People like the Geigers.
Uh-huh. But now Jane Wood is one of the main ones that's kept it going, too.
Yeah.
And now, of course, Flo Richardson might have had a little something.
Well, I'm
going.
Yeah.
And the Smiths' core is very interested in that.
Yeah.
But you see, some families that have children or have relatives elsewhere, taught school up until that day, and her children have come into college. So it's been a little easier for her to just have Thanksgiving at home.
Yeah.
They've been some years, but
not
everything.
His cousin's always taken a hand.
Yes, even though she couldn't come this year.
And
a crowd, you know, come at sight. So.
Yeah.
And then we've had this Mrs. Beck from La Lusa I was telling you about. She was one that was reared here. She was one of the Miller girls.
Uh-huh.
And she always enjoys coming back. And Ms. Johnson's family, all of them are back this year. Sometimes they've been in Jacksonville.
Well, Ms. Johnson's family would be customers. Ms. Johnson not a cook or anything.
No, well, they'd all...
But if she still doesn't matter about that.
No, but she always sees to it that she does her part.
Oh,
you know, they come. It was like at the mission. She just... and didn't feel like she could cook, so her daughter in Mariana sent a nice size check for us to use in the way we could at the mission.
Oh.
And so we bought things, and we fixed Miss Johnson and she didn't have to worry about fixing her meals. But I hope we always get discouraged because there are some who say, well, they're tired of this. And they don't want to go to the trouble during at Thanksgiving. But, oh, I know my brother died Thanksgiving morning in 65, died at 9:30. And I was busy getting dinner ready for the park and also fixing enough because I didn't know when I might be called. And so they called me at 9:30. And all I had to do, because I had gotten up early, I just divided part of the dinner and fixed for the children to take to the park. And I cared some for dinner in Gainesville because she hadn't had time to cook, you know. So, but those things came, and it was surprising that he died on Thanksgiving morning, and my father had died, I think it was 45 years to the day that my brother died, before my brother died. Mm-hmm. And that's very unusual. He died on Thanksgiving Day. Thanksgiving fell on those days. So I hope we never give up our Thanksgiving dinners. I just think they mean too much to us, you know. And people are coming and people are going, but it's like the church. You have to, you talk about, well, the church is failing. Well, who's failing if the church is failing? It's us. We are the church. That's what I brought out Sunday.
And
I said, if the church fails, it's not the building up there. It's the people that make the building.
And Iris.
Iris McRae, well, she's the mayor of the town.
Well, now that's, let me see, that's some
yeah,
families.
Yeah, that are terribly interested
more.
In. Yeah, more than Hastings. Yeah.
Still.
And the Live and Goods all come. They bring food, they all.
Oh, you mean their supporters?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. And he's on our park committed to, I think we have committee, I don't know who, but anyway, they're very interested in the dinners.
Is she a cook?
Well, she works all the time, thank you. She's a good Gainesville cook, but they didn't come. I don't know what they all got here this year now.
Laura?
She quit and went to the university one time.
Yeah.
But they must pay her a fabulous price, a salary or something. I bet they do. Because I tell you, I just don't see how they do everything they do. You know, it takes all the money to live.
Oh, you mean they live high, or at least spend a lot?
Well, must make pretty good money.
Oh, you know,
as he used to be in the store all the time.
Yeah.
And I know that Smiles is real well. And the funny thing to me that Florida Mae Woodard, you know, Florida Mae that worked for me, used to iron for Miss Livengood. She was something I don't know anyway. Livengood would help her get an apartment, and then that'll work it out, which I don't approve of. I think I rather than
Yes, sir, the tape recorder broke down for the first time. That spindle wasn't pulling, so the rollers pulled the tape through and just let it go on down on the floor, but I didn't see it until it was stacked up. 9 in our big kitchen with Flora, the third visit over here. High point is to talk about the Garrigas. The high point is to talk about the Garrigas. Now this is continued on channel 1 right of Flora Richardson Reel 2. I'm not going to transfer it. It's not that connected. I won't transfer it. It's not that connected. It's so rambly. This is the end of this particular tape, and it's continued on Reel 2. This is Channel 1 over 775. Channel 1 over 775. Channel 1 over 775. This is Flora's third visit. This is Tuesday the 3rd of June, 69. On Tuesday the 3rd of June, 69.